We're glad to have you. Greetings, Open Arms Church family. Greetings to our guests. Greetings to our live stream, Open Arms family, and our guests. We've come to worship on April 11th. Beautiful day outside. I know we've been looking forward to that. As you look at your program, nothing surprising about announcements, things that we've been talking about. The Institute continues, not this Wednesday, but next week. We do have our 101 Discovering Open Arms workshop scheduled for later in May. If you're interested, and I look at it, I see mostly friends who have been part of the Open Arms Church family here this morning. As we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, I want you to remember the Crow family, Kathleen and Russell and Abby in our midst. Kathleen lost her mom this past week after a bout with some illnesses, but we'll be praying, lifting up that family as the services are Wednesday evening and the funeral Thursday morning. Join me in a word of prayer, please. Father, we're grateful to come and seek you this morning, to open up your word. It's as if we're opening up your mouth. We've been learning about wisdom, wisdom from above. Oh, how we need that. We're grateful for the strength and the grace that comes through Jesus Christ alone, different than any strength that we can find in this world. And then his peace that, Lord, overcomes our trouble because he's steady when all around us is chaos and instability. Christ in us, even in the storms of life, sees us through. Lord, this morning, may you continue to give us a spirit of perseverance and endurance so we might conform to maturity, the very likeness of Christ for which you saved us, for which you called us to yourself, and such work in us by you would bring glory to you. Then we could be your ambassadors, sharing Jesus with others. We're grateful at a time like this to call out to you on behalf of our friends that they might know your peace, especially the Crow family, in the recent loss of Kathleen's mom. Lord, minister to them, encourage them. We're thankful for the testimony that family has of Kathleen's mom recently turning to Christ, surrendering to him. May that assurance of eternal life help temper the sorrow that they feel at this time. Lord, we bow before you. We're about to sing praises because you are worthy of such worship. Thank you for loving us first. We love you back. May our hearts really confess that. Not only what we say, but Lord, how we live. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you would stand with us if you are able and worship, please. Up to the hill of Calvary, my Savior went courageously, and there he bled and died for me. Hallelujah for the cross. And on that day the world was changed, the final perfect Lamb was slain, that earth and heaven now proclaim. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. What good I thought could never save, my debt too great for deeds to pay, but God my Savior made a way. Hallelujah for the cross. Slave to sin my life was bound, but all my chains fell to I'll have no need to fear that rest. This hope will guide me into death. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the war he fought. Love has won, death has lost. Hallelujah for the souls he bought. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross.
Decided to follow Jesus. No. follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back, no turning back. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Flashes of lightning, roars of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath of living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy.
Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your holiness, that there is no one like you, that you are set apart. Lord, it gives us hope. Gives us hope that you are holy, you are strong, that you're different than us. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. Lord, show us your thoughts this morning. Lead us into your ways this morning as we look at your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? I was enjoying singing with you so much, I forgot that I was supposed to be up here preaching. So I'm here now. So we're in Proverbs this morning. Proverbs. And I encourage you to grab your Bible, but it's going to be real important that you grab a program. If you're here this morning and you didn't grab one of those, make sure you grab one of those. And if you're online, you can scroll down in the description field that is the scriptures we're going to be looking at, the program. The reason you're going to need that is because we're going to be jumping all around this morning. Because in our journey through Proverbs, we're going to be in chapters 10 through 31 for the next several weeks. And instead of looking at a paragraph or a chapter, we're going to be looking at a topic. We're going to look at a topic and then look at a lot of different spots in Proverbs to see what Proverbs says about that topic. Because what happens starting in chapter 10 is it goes from paragraph format to line-by-line format, to one-line chunks of wisdom for us, changing subject almost every verse. So we're going to jump around. What we've done is put the scriptures that we're going to look at this morning on the program to save you some turning. Of course, you're welcome to do that in your Bible as we go through this to make notes. We're going to be looking at 11 topics that Proverbs teaches us about. Now, there's other topics that it deals with, but these are 11 of the major ones. And very relevant topics like money, friendship, words, you know, our speech, our talk. Relevant daily issues that we have, that we deal with. The first topic we're going to look at is fear. Fear. Now, fear is a very relevant topic to us, and I'll tell you why. Fear can be there's several potholes we can fall into with fear. On one side of the spectrum, many people can have struggles with fear because they fear everything, and that can be crippling. You know, to fear everything can be crippling. To fear tomorrow, what's going to happen tomorrow, to fear what may happen to our health, to fear situations that we walk into, that can be crippling. On the other side of the spectrum, there are people that don't fear anything. It's not that they fear everything, they don't fear anything. And on one level, we think, wow, that would be really great. That a person like that would have courage. But to not fear anything can be dangerous. Because it's like the 3 or 4 year old that doesn't fear anything. It doesn't fear running out in the street or jumping in the deep into the pool with nobody around. That's dangerous. Another pothole we can fall into with fear, though, is fearing the wrong things. We can be afraid of things we shouldn't be afraid of, and we can not be afraid of things we should be afraid of. And so we're afraid of something, and we're trying to avoid this danger, and we walk right into a bigger danger because we're not aware of it. Well, what Proverbs says, and in fact the whole Bible, what Proverbs says is the solution to that, the wise fear that we're to have is a fear of the Lord. To not fear everything, to not fear nothing, to not fear the wrong thing, but to fear the Lord. That's wise fear. So we're going to look at Proverbs, and we're going to look at what this means by answering 4 questions. 4 questions about wise fear. Here's the first question. How important is the fear of the Lord? How important is this fear of the Lord? I mean, the Bible talks about it. We've already seen it in the book of Proverbs a couple times as we've looked at the introduction, chapters 1 through 9. But really, how important is this idea of the fear of the Lord? Well, really, the fear of the Lord is the theme of Proverbs. It's the foundation of Proverbs. It's right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So right out of the gate in Proverbs, we're told that the fear of the Lord is really important. The last verse of Proverbs, Proverbs 31, verse 30, kind of a mic drop kind of moment. The last verse of Proverbs talks about the fear of the Lord. It's talking about a godly woman, and it says, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord should be praised. And that's the end of the book. So fear of the Lord starts the book, it ends the book. It's also in the middle of the book. Look at verse on your program. Look at chapter 15, verse 33. Listen to what Solomon says. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. It's not just the beginning of wisdom. It is wisdom. That means that if we're going to be wise in our marriage, we have to have fear of the Lord. We can't be, we can't live wisely, we can't live skillfully God's way unless we have a fear of the Lord. If we're going to be wise with our money, we can't do that without a fear of the Lord. If we're going to be wise in our friendships, if we're going to be wise in the way we talk, we can't be wise in those things unless we have a fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. It is instruction in wisdom. Look at Ecclesiastes 12. Now, you say, well, why are we in Ecclesiastes? We're supposed to be focused on Proverbs. Well, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, written by the same human author. Of course, written by the same ultimate author, which is God. And Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he explores all of these different things in life to see where ultimate meaning can be found under the sun, on this earth. And he ends the book in chapter 12. He summarizes it for us. If you want the cliff notes on the book of Ecclesiastes, it's right here. Chapter 12, verse 7. Look what he says. The end of the matter, all has been heard. I've gone through all of these things. And here's the end of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For, because God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. So how important is the fear of the Lord? It is the whole duty of man. That's what he says. That's what Solomon says. It's not just important. It's the most important thing for us. That's what Solomon's saying. It's the whole duty of man. We should sit up straight and listen this morning as we talk about fear. He goes on in Ecclesiastes 12. Why is it so important, or how important is it? For because God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Fear of the Lord is important because we will stand before God and he will bring all of our deeds, good or evil, known or unknown, he says secret things, and he will judge us. So it's really important for us to be sobered by that and to live today, not just with blinders on, but to live today with the knowledge that one day we will stand before God and we will be accountable to him. We're accountable to him now, but he will call us to account on that day. And it's really important. That's what the connection here, he is saying, that's why fear of the Lord is so important, because he is going to be our judge. So as we talk about fear of the Lord, here's the second question. What exactly is the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? And we've talked about it a few times in the last couple months. Let me give you a short description of the fear of the Lord before we look at some of these verses. The fear of the Lord is humbly yielding to God. It's another way to describe fear of the Lord, to humbly yield to God. It's saying, Lord, as I relate to you, you don't answer to me, I answer to you, and so I need to be in a position of humility before you, and I need to yield to you. That's what fear of the Lord is, to humbly yield to God. Look at what Proverbs, how it defines fear of the Lord. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, there's a description of what fear of the Lord is and what it isn't in this verse. Fear of the Lord is turning away from evil. Very practically, humbly yielding to God looks like turning away from evil. It's saying, no, I'm not going to go down that road in my mind. I'm not going to go down that road with my mouth. I'm not going to go down that road with my feet, with my life, because I'm going to turn away from evil and yield to the Lord. That's what fear of the Lord is, turning away from evil. What is it not? Look at the first line. Be not wise in your own eyes. Now, that's the opposite of fear of the Lord, being wise in our own eyes. Saying, you know what? I got this. I know how this should work. Now, there's a couple ways this can work in our life. One way is sometimes we can know what God says about an area in our life. We know what he says. But being wise in our own eyes, sometimes we say, but I don't want to do that. Or I don't agree. Or I think this would be better. I'm going to go this way. So we know what he says. But being wise in our own eyes, we don't turn away from evil. We walk into it. But there's another more subtle way this can happen, that we can be wise in our own eyes, is we can think, I don't know what God says about this area, but I'm not really interested in hearing what he says because I want to do this. So I'm not even going to investigate it. You see, one way is resistance and rebelling. One way is just ignoring and not seeking what God says. Both are being wise in our own eyes. And what God calls us to do is to humbly yield to him and investigate and seek him. What is fear of the Lord? Look at how chapter 8, verse 13 describes it. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. That's a very clear definition, right? The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech, I hate, God says. So this is beyond turning away from evil. This is hating evil. This is disliking it. It's saying, oof. Not just gritting our teeth and turning away from something, but being repelled by evil. It's more of a heart thing here. You know, don't you wish that when we were trying to lose weight, we could find a diet that just didn't tell us what not to eat, but that actually changed our taste buds so that we didn't want to eat it? Wouldn't that be nice? A diet that doesn't just say, you know, turn away from chocolate cake, turn away from jelly beans, turn away from ice cream. But a diet that would say, okay, now I'm going to zap you and change your taste buds so that you hate chocolate cake. Amen. And you hate jelly beans. I don't know of one, by the way, but that you hate ice cream. That you don't pull into Stewart's because you're like, ooh, yuck. See, hate is a deeper thing than just turning away. But you know the miracle of what God does? He changes our taste buds. He changes our heart. Look at the things listed in chapter 8. The specifics of evil: pride, arrogance, the way of evil, perverted speech. I wonder how many of us, at one point in our life, maybe if you are a follower of Christ, as you look back and there was a point in your life where these things, you were okay with these things, with pride, the way of evil, perverted speech. You weren't just okay with it, maybe you were fueled by those things. It drove your life. But now as you read this verse, you think, oh, you know, I fall into these, and it's not that I never do these things, but I hate it. I hate it when I see that. I'm repelled by it. See, one of the signs and the symptoms of being a Christian is that we hate what God hates. We may be tempted by it and struggle with it, But in our heart, there's a dislike of evil and sin. That's what fear of the Lord is. Not just an outward action, but an inward disposition to be repelled by sin. That's what fear of the Lord is. Look at how chapter 14 describes fear of the Lord. Whoever walks in uprightness fears the Lord. But he who is devious in his ways despises him. Whoever walks in uprightness, now that's the flip side of turning away from evil. Fear of the Lord is I'm turning away from evil and I'm walking on the right path. I'm turning away from the wrong path and I'm walking in the right path. That's what fear of the Lord is, kind of two sides of the same coin. But the opposite of that is he who is devious is in his ways despises him, despises the Lord. The opposite of uprightness is being devious in our ways. The word means to turn into evil, not to turn away from it, but turn into it. And the opposite of fear here in this verse is to despise. That's a strong word. You see what it's saying? When we turn into evil and towards sin, what we're doing is we're despising God. See, we tend to think of sin as just, well, I did the wrong thing. But what Scripture tells us and what this verse specifically tells us is sin is very personal. It's always personal. It might not be against some other person on this earth, but sin is always personal because when we sin, we are despising the Lord. We're saying, Lord, you are not worth listening to. You are not worth following. It's very personal, sin is. And what God calls us to do in this fear of the Lord is to despise evil instead of despising him. To turn towards him instead of turning towards sin. What is fear of the Lord? Humbly yielding to God. Here's question three. What difference does the fear of the Lord make? What difference does it make when we fear the Lord? Now, Proverbs has a lot to say about this, and these are just a few verses. Look at chapter 10, verse 27 in your program. What difference does the fear of the Lord make? The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. What difference does fear of the Lord make? It helps you to live longer. That's what it's saying. It just helps you to live longer. You know, things always work better and last longer when we follow the manufacturer's instructions. You know, the manual in your glove compartment for your car? If you change your oil like the manufacturer tells you to, every 3,000, 5,000, if you do synthetic, maybe 10,000 miles, you do your routine maintenance, you rotate your tires. If you follow the manufacturer's instructions with your car, it will last longer. Now, you can be wise in your own eyes, and you can do what you want with your car, and you can never change your oil or do any routine maintenance, and the life of your car will be, as Proverbs 10 says, will be short. Same with our clothes, right? Our clothes last a lot longer when you follow the little instructions on the tag. You know, if it says dry clean only, now you can do what you want with that piece of clothing. You can put it in your washer and dry it every time you wear it, but it won't last long. The same is true for us. Our life lasts longer when we follow the manufacturer's instructions. When the God who created us speaks to us and he says, this is the way you should walk, walk in it. If we say, okay, and we yield to that, literally our life will last longer. But if we say, no, I want to do what, I want to use this life the way I want to use this life, our life will be short. Sin shortens our life. It's not just wrong, it's not just personal against God, but it wears us out. And our life doesn't last as long. It makes a big difference, fear of the Lord. Look at chapter 14, verse 26. What difference does fear of the Lord make? In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord gives us security. The fear of the Lord fights against that insecurity that creeps in and sometimes dominates our life. The fear of the Lord gives us security. There's a lot of things that rob our confidence. It could be a fear of failure. Gives us insecurity, robs our confidence. Maybe a fear of people. What do they think? What are they going to do to me? It can rob our confidence. Fear of the future. What's going to happen? All those things can be crippling, trip us up, rob our confidence. But a fear of the Lord, this verse says, gives us confidence. It gives us security because we're yielding to a good God, a strong God. We're yielding to our Creator. And there's a strength that comes from that. Even when we don't know what tomorrow brings, even when we fail, because God is bigger than our failures and he's bigger than tomorrow. He knows tomorrow. And it can give us a confidence. And not just us. Do you see the second line? Not just the person who fears, but his children will have a heritage. That when we fear the Lord, our kids, we're giving our kids a refuge that they need. That as they yield to us, we're yielding to the Lord. And it can not just give us security, but our children security as they grow up. And not just as they grow up, but as they go on. Because, you know, our kids get a lot of things from us. You know, maybe fortunately, unfortunately, they pick up a lot of habits, a lot of likes and dislikes. But the picture is here, when we walk in humility with the Lord, yielding to him, we give our children an opportunity to pick that up from us so that when they go out on their own, they inherit a refuge, the Lord, and they find security and they find a confidence. One of the things that I am most thankful for is that I had two parents that feared the Lord, and I grew up, and they didn't fear the Lord perfectly, but they feared the Lord well. And that when I moved out and went out on my own, I had those tracks laid for me to run on, seeing what that looked like to fear the Lord and to yield to him and to follow him. And that's been a refuge for me because of their fear of the Lord. Look at the last line of this passage, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. Fear helps us to turn away from the snares of death. There's a lot of snares out there. There's a lot of traps out there. There's a lot of holes to fall into there. And when we humbly yield to the Lord, he's guiding us through the minefield. And that breeds security and a confidence. And there's a whole lot of confidence we can feel when you're following somebody who knows the path, who knows where the potholes are, and it can rescue us from the snares of death. Look what chapter 22, verse 4 says. What difference does the fear of the Lord make? The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. So what difference does fear of the Lord make? The Lord rewards with riches, honor, and life. That's an interesting threesome there, isn't it? Riches, honor, and life. Isn't that what so many people are looking for? You know, money, wealth, security through possessions, honor, you know, fame, acknowledgement, likes and views on social media. So many are searching for that life, the good life, whether that's now or in retirement. That if I just get this, if I just get riches, if I just get honor, if I just get the good life, if I just get all three of them, then I'll have significance. Then I'll be okay. And what the Bible tells us is those things don't come from seeking them as the first level priorities, that the Lord gives those when we seek him. That they're secondary things that God provides. Matthew 6:33 says this so well. Jesus said, well, before that, he says, don't worry about tomorrow, what you're going to eat, drink, wear, the stuff you're going to need. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. They will be rewards, they will be gifts that he gives us. Now, God does not promise that we will all be rich, like wealthy financially. But what God does do, because he's very generous, is he gives us true riches, and he gives us true honor, and he gives us not just the good life. Jesus said he came to give abundant life. See, those things that we're looking for are found in a fear of the Lord and humbly yielding to him in dependence that he will give us what we need, not chasing them to provide what we need. What difference does the Lord make? Does fear of the Lord make? Look at chapter 28, verse 14. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Big difference between being blessed and falling into calamity. Do you see in that verse? That's the difference. Living a life under God's blessing or falling into calamity. The word there means misery. You know, who of us would rather have a miserable life rather than a blessed life? So how can we avoid the miserable life? How can we avoid falling into calamity? The fear of the Lord, humbly yielding to him. And one of the ways fear of the Lord is described in this verse is, did you see that? The opposite of fear of the Lord is hardening our hearts. Whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity, will fall into trouble, will fall into misery. Sometimes it's hard to tell, you know, when our hearts are getting hard, when our hearts are hardened. But one of the pictures of fear of the Lord is that we have a soft heart towards the Lord, a yielded heart, a listening heart, a pliable heart, not one that's hardened and pushing forward with our own ideas. It makes the difference between blessing and misery. Here's the fourth question. Why should we fear the Lord? Why should we fear the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord can protect us from the wrong kind of fears. Look at chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. The fear of man lays a snare. Now, there's a phrase we don't use often, fear of man. But there is a phrase we might be more familiar with today. Have you ever heard the word people-pleasing? People-pleasing is fear of the Lord, or fear of man. It's the opposite of fear of the Lord. Peer pressure, maybe for the young people. Or just going along at work to fit in, to get a promotion. It's people-pleasing. It's fear of man. See, it's yielding to what other people expect of us. It's yielding to what other people say we should do instead of yielding to the Lord. To yielding to other people primarily, and then maybe on the next level saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do after we've made the decision based on what other people want us to do? And he says it's a snare. We've heard that word a couple times already today. We've heard it in the past too. A snare, see, a snare is a trap that you don't see. You don't see it. That's why the bird's flying through the woods. There's a snare there, and he hits it. He doesn't see it. The reason he hits it is because he doesn't see it. And by the time he hits it, it's too late. He's caught. And see, fear of man for us, sometimes we don't see it. We don't see that we're being guided by the fear of man. We don't see that we're being guided. We're making decisions. We're orienting our life over what by what people think. That's the wrong kind of fear because he says it's a snare. And it'll trap us. And it'll choke us. And it'll squeeze us. But, did you see the contrast in the next line? But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. See, there's a contrast between here between fearing man and trusting the Lord. Are we trusting other people? Are we trying to find happiness and meaning in life through pleasing other people? Or are we trusting the Lord? There's safety in trusting the Lord. Jesus talks about this. He picks this up in the book of Luke. Jesus was familiar with the book of Proverbs. He talks about this fear of man as well. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 4 through 7. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Did you hear Jesus talking about fear in here? He starts off by saying, don't fear. And then twice in the middle, he says, fear. Do fear. And then at the end, he says again, fear not. So what is Jesus saying? How does this make sense? Well, the first do not fear, he's talking about men and women, mankind. Did you see that? Don't fear them, those who can kill you. Now, this goes beyond just, well, they won't like me, so I'm going to do what they want, or I have a hard time saying no. This is like a dangerous kind of person. Did you see that? They might kill you, like kill you. Jesus was talking to his followers. He knew what was coming. That most of them would be killed for their faith, for yielding to Jesus. But he says, don't fear them. Well, how can we not fear that? He says, verse 5, the antidote to that wrong kind of fear is a fear of the Lord. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. The reason we're to fear the Lord more than man is because all man can do to us is kill us physically. But Jesus says, God, though he can do that, he has authority. He will judge us, going back to Ecclesiastes 12, he will judge us, and he has authority to cast us into hell. He says, fear him. That's the one that you need to guide your life after and follow and yield to and place yourself under, not man. But there's another antidote here to the fear of man, to a wrong kind of fear. Look at verse 5. Well, actually, verse 7 at the end. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. What he's saying is don't fear man. Fear God because he has authority and he will judge you. But also, don't fear man because God, he loves you. He cares for you. Did you see that word? Values you. He says, five sparrows are sold for 2 pennies. It's not much. I used to go to the corner store and buy penny candy. Maybe it was nickel candy. It was pretty cheap. 2 pennies is not a lot, even back when I was a kid. You can get 5 sparrows, apparently, in Jesus' day for 2 pennies. Sparrows weren't worth a lot, didn't have a lot of value. But it says that God had not forgotten a single one of them. And he says, you're of more value than sparrows. See, what can help us have a healthy fear of the Lord and protect us from the wrong kind of fear of man is to know that God loves us. And that he cares for us, that he has not forgotten us. and that he values us, that he sees us, that we are not worthy of his love, but we are not worthless, because God sees value in us. One of the ultimate ways we know that is alluded to here in this last proverb, chapter 16, verse 6. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. And we've heard the second part of that verse, the fear of the Lord turns away from evil. But the first line, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. Now, iniquity in this verse just is another word for sin. And atoned here is another word for covered, cleansed, forgiven. So by steadfast love and faithfulness, our sin is covered, is forgiven. Is our sin forgiven because of our love and because of our faithfulness? No. It's because of his love and his faithfulness. That God loved us and he gave his son. That the God who we will stand before and he will be our judge sent his son to take our judgment, to die for all of those deeds, evil deeds, whether public or in secret. That Jesus atoned for us, that he provided forgiveness for us so that we could be cleansed. We know that God loves us because the Bible tells us and because Jesus showed us by giving his life for us. I wonder if maybe you're prone to being in the group of people that fear everything. That sometimes fear can be crippling for you. It just seems like everything is a risk and scary. And maybe this morning you need to hear that God has not forgotten you. And that you are worth more, far more than sparrows who he doesn't forget. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from our Father's will. And you're worth far more than that. And we know that primarily because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And you may need to remember or realize for the first time that you're not worthy of this forgiveness that God provides through Jesus. That though you're not worthy, you're not worthless. And that he loves you, he has not forgotten you. And he calls you to turn and to fear him and to rest in his love. And that will navigate you through the potholes of other fears. Maybe you would gravitate more towards the fear, the person who doesn't fear anything. And there's strengths to that. There's strengths to that courage that says, I'm not afraid of anything. But maybe as you look back and you realize that your life has been marked by pride and arrogance and saying what you want to say, rather than what the Lord would guide you to say. That confidence has turned into wisdom in your own eyes. And what God would call you to do in that scenario is to turn away from evil and to turn to the one that you will give account to fear him. That's a good fear. That's a wise fear. And you may need to, for the first time this morning, turn to him. To turn away from evil and receive that forgiveness. Maybe like me, you're tempted to fear the wrong thing. And even this fear of man can be a snare for you. And you don't see it many times until you're caught in it. And you and I need to hear this morning that that we need not to fear. We need not to fear man. But that's not a wise fear. The wise fear is to fear the Lord, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for speaking to us about fear. Lord, help us not to be afraid of fear. Help us not to be afraid of the fear of the Lord. But to live today in light of tomorrow, knowing that you are our judge, that we are accountable to you, but that you are a good judge, so good that you would come and take our judgment so that we could be forgiven. Lord, may we trust in that and lean on that. A strong and good God. May we have a healthy fear, a wise fear of the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're able, please stand with us and worship.
Became sin that knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Redeemer, Emmanuel. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Have a great week.